الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Majlis and brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are countless benefits of reciting Durood and Salam on the best of creation, the seal of prophethood, peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the person closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited salat upon me abundantly in the dunya. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear son, brothers and viewers of Madni channel, intentions play an absolutely crucial role in our life. Their importance can be realized from this saying of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, innama al-a'malu bin niyyat. The actions are dependent upon intentions. Therefore, I make the intention that I record this silsila to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the benefit of the people. You can also make some good intentions to gain some reward. You can also make intentions that I will try to watch this silsila with full attention and remove any obstacles that will come in the way of my concentration. Whatever I will learn, I will try to remember by making notes if possible, and I will try to act upon this information and also convey to others as well. My dear son, brothers and viewers of Madni channel, welcome to our silsila, The Burning Issues. In this silsila, we will try to learn about important social aspects of our daily life that have significant impact, not just on an individual, but also on the family unit, the wider community, and the nation as a whole. The aim of this silsila is to develop a basic understanding of the issues so that we can bring a change within us. A change that will be positive, leading to peace and tranquility in our homes and our neighborhood as well. In today's episode, I will try to address this very important issue. At what age should we start tarbiyat of our children? When is it, how old our children are, that we can actually start giving them training, start teaching them different things? Many times these sentences echo in our ears. Leave them, they are only children. When they get older, we will teach them everything. Abhi ye bachche. Well, my dear son, brothers and viewers of Madni channel, this thought that they are only a child has devastating consequences. We miss countless opportunities of teaching good behavior to our children, and when we think it is the age to teach them good behavior, by then we have missed the boat. Their habits have already set in. Now we try to change them, and it is like bending a glass rod. Brittle relationships shatter into pieces, and our dreams fall apart. In this episode of the silsila, The Burning Issues, I will try to demonstrate that a child starts learning even before his birth. What effect personality of parents has on the learning of a child, and most importantly, how to deliver age-appropriate tarbiyat, age-appropriate training to your children so that they become responsible individuals of our society and become means of countless good. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Let us first understand that what is learning? In a common people's term, learning is the process of acquiring knowledge which leads to changes in our behavior. We may acquire knowledge through experience, through personal study, or by being taught by others. For learning to occur, we need intact senses, for example, vision, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And also a functioning brain which processes and stores this information. For example, a child looks at a flame and he will try to touch it. When the child touches the flame is obviously going to burn his finger. the child will learn that this is something dangerous. His brain will store this unpleasant experience, the painful experience of burning sensation. This learning will modify child's behavior. The next time when he looks at a flame, he won't touch it because he is able to recall from his memory the previous encounter he had with the flame. Learning continues until we take our last breath. But most important question is, when does it start? My dear Sambandhas and viewers of Padni Channel, learning for us starts even before we are born. Yes, even before we are born. You may find this difficult to believe, but this has been an established fact for many, many years. Here I would like to demonstrate with examples that how an unborn baby is able to learn so much in the environment of his mother's womb and how this learning affects his behavior after his birth as well. The uterus is undisputedly the ultimate environment for the development and nurturing of a fetus, of a baby. The sensory systems, they develop throughout pregnancy and they affect the brain's development. A baby begins to develop on a sensory level from the moment of conception. The first sense to develop is the sense of touch, emerging at about 3 weeks. And by the 12th week, your baby can feel and respond to touch. Inside the womb, the deep pressure is the greatest input to the sense of touch. By the third trimester, the muscles of the uterus begin to contract and thus provide this constant deep pressure like an all-day hug or massage. This tight hug keeps your baby curled up and provides him with comfort. A child is able to remember this comforting experience even after his birth, which is why they like being cuddled, massaged, or wrapped up tightly. The next sensation that develops is taste. Taste buds, they emerge at 8 weeks, and by 13 weeks, the baby has taste buds similar to that of an adult. Anything the mother eats during her pregnancy passes into the amniotic fluid. This is a fluid which surrounds the baby, and the food causes changes in the flavor of the amniotic fluid, because all food tastes pass into the amniotic fluid. The baby is already used to the flavors his family eats, even when he is still in the womb of his mother. The baby in the womb prefers sweet tastes and starts swallowing amniotic fluid more vigorously after the mother consumes something sweet. The baby has these food tastes wired in his brain. This is why when after birth, he will be weaned, he will get easily accustomed to culturally appropriate food or like the favorite foods of his mother. The next sensory system to develop is that of hearing. This is called auditory system. The auditory system is completely intact by 20 weeks of gestation. At 23 weeks, the baby can respond to loud noises and may jerk or even begin to hiccup after hearing a loud noise. Inside the womb, the baby hears the gushes of amniotic fluid and blood flowing in the veins, and of course the mother's heartbeat. The consistent sound of the heartbeat is particularly soothing, which comforts the baby. Sounds from the outside world are subdued, but the clearest sound that the baby hears is his mother's voice. Dad's voice is the second most familiar sound to the baby, and it is nice to know that within hours of the birth, your baby will recognize dad by his voice as well. Now, comfort gained by the mother's heartbeat whilst the baby is inside the womb is remembered by the baby. The result of this is seen when a distressed child, a child that is crying, he is cuddled by bringing him closer to the chest, he quickly gets comforted as he can hear the heartbeat. it reminds him of the good times before his birth. It is also not difficult to conclude that if a mother during her pregnancy keeps reciting the Holy Quran, then her child will find comfort in listening to the Quranic recitation. This will help the mother calm down her newborn baby with the Quranic recitation at times of distress or when she needs to put him to sleep. In utero, meaning the inside the uterus, inside the womb of the mother, the baby floats freely in the amniotic fluid. He is lulled by the constant rocking and swaying motion, gently putting him to sleep. When the lulling movement stops, that is when the mother rests or lies down, the little one in the tummy may become wakeful and mother feels the baby moving. This is why newborn babies like to sleep in swinging cradles. It reminds them of that wonderful and peaceful time inside the womb and refreshes their experience of free-floating sensation. By understanding the world of the womb, you can make your little one's transition to the real world smoother. If we look at these examples and think, then without any further explanation, I hope you will agree with me that a child's brain has capacity to learn even when he is inside the womb of his mother, an environment which is deprived significantly of many sensations compared to the outside world. It is therefore not difficult to imagine that a child's learning increases exponentially as soon as the child is born. Outside world is full of sensory stimulation and their brain is ready to process all this information and babies start making sense of the world around them. We just need to understand and realize our responsibility and the fact that learning for a child begins well before we can even imagine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now that we realize that children have the ability to learn from very early age, but the question arises, that how do we teach them all the necessary skills? They do not understand the language, and their brain is not developed enough to grasp all the difficult topics and the concepts. The answer to this question is very simple. Human learning is based on certain principles. These principles, they remain the same throughout our life, whether we can understand the language or not. Clearly, as our brain develops, we begin to understand more complex concepts and ideas. According to behavioral psychologists, there are laws of learning, there are theories of learning that are fundamental to all humans. Learning results from stimulus-response associations. What does this mean? For example, showing the child a toy is a stimulus. The response from the child will be to come to you. This is called learning through conditioning. One form of conditioning is called upfront conditioning. Let me explain to you what it means. In upfront conditioning, reward mechanism is used to increase the likelihood of good behavior happening again and again. And punishment is used to decrease the likelihood of bad behavior happening again and again. For example, your child comes from the Madrasatul Madina and they revise their sabak. This is good behavior. For your child to keep doing this every day, you need to initially reward your child until revising sabak becomes their habit. The reward can be in the form of verbal praise, saying mashallah, giving them a hug, or treating them in a different manner. Without the reward in initial phase, it is possible that your child may not persevere with this good behavior. The same technique of reward system can be used for other good behaviors. Using a system of star charts can be very effective in this manner, in this regard. Every time good behavior takes place, a star is put on the chart. when they get, you can say about 12 stars, then some form of further gift can be given to them. Furthermore, reward in terms of a gift after achieving certain number of stars will make the child work hard, display good behavior to get as many stars as possible. With the help of this, they will continue to demonstrate good behavior time and time again. The reward system can be made age appropriate as well. For example, simply giving more attention to your infant. That is all that the infant may need. Giving a toy to a toddler is what that the attention that they may need. Buying a favorite piece of cloth for 6 to 7 year old will be an appropriate reward mechanism for him. And this is how reward system will encourage good behavior. In terms of bad behaviors, upfront conditioning involves using punishment to reduce the likelihood of bad behavior being repeated. Punishment here does not mean slapping or punching or kicking or beating with a belt. You will get into serious trouble if you do that, because this form of punishment only represses the bad behavior. Wait until they are physically strong. The same child will end up hitting you very soon. So what sort of punishment are we talking about? Let me explain. When children are around 2 years of age, they go through a phase called tantrum twos. What does this mean? If a child's demand is not met immediately, he or she will start screaming, or even worse, throw themselves on the floor, thrash around their body, or even try to hurt themselves by hitting their head against the wall, bite themselves, or worse still, try to wreck the house. Many parents will identify this phase, and they will agree with me that this is the worst type of behavior that they found most difficult to deal with in upbringing of their children. None of us wants to, you know, clearly we do not want our child to throw tantrums. Here is how you can punish your child to reduce the likelihood of tantrums happening in the future. Your first priority is to ensure the safety of your child. Make sure they are safe. Your second priority is to handle your own emotions, because your child is exploiting your soft corner for his advantage. Believe me, if you do not control your emotions now, you will never be able to tame the raging emotions of your child for the rest of his life, and he will acquire a personality of emotional instability. After making sure that your child is safe and you control your emotions, you're not going to get angry, you're not going to actually give in. The third thing you need to do is to completely ignore your child. Remain in his eyesight, but do not look at him. Behave as if nothing is happening, and do not give him any attention. Do not talk to him. Do not give him any instructions at this time. Completely ignore your child. Let them cry, even if it takes 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or even up to an hour. For the child not to get your attention is the biggest punishment. Once he realizes himself that I'm not getting any attention, the child will stop his tantrum. He will come close to get your attention. Now is your time to say to him only one sentence. Crying will not get you anything. That's all. You need to adopt the same approach each time and every time. Not just you, but every member of the family, including daddy, brother, sister, grandparents as well. The use of this consistent approach by all family members every time a child throws a tantrum will tame your child within days to a week. Otherwise, there will be an emotional storm in your home every day. This will affect everyone and put huge strain on relationships. It will definitely affect your bonding with the child and sometimes causes a rift between husband and a wife. Your child won't just exploit you inside the home, but he will throw a tantrum outside as well in front of others. So save yourself from all this embarrassment. Learn a little bit about upright conditioning and help yourself and your child in this journey of a lifetime. Tantrums, they are the worst type of behaviors to deal with. There are other bad behaviors which we assume as minor ones, but nonetheless, they also need to be changed. So what form of punishment we can use to reduce the likelihood of these other behaviors? For example, your child does not change school uniform straight away when they come home from school. Or he does not put his shoes in the right place where they should be. Or the child leaves the coat on the sofa. Punishment can be used here to change the bad behavior. You can tell your child that tomorrow he will not get his pocket money. And you stick by what you say. Even if he puts his coat back after you warn him, he still won't get his pocket money tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, you say to your child, today you will not get your pocket money because yesterday you did not change your clothes or you did not put your shoes in the right place. And if you do it today, then I will give you pocket money tomorrow. And when he is on his way back from school, you remind him what he has to do to earn his pocket money for tomorrow. This form of punishment, by making your child earn his pocket money through good behavior, will bring a positive change in him, and eventually he will become an organized and disciplined individual. Other forms of punishment, for example, depriving your child of their favorite activity or reducing their screen time, can be used for other bad behaviors such as telling a lie or not doing their homework or not sleeping on time or for watching cartoons or not praying their namaz, etc. The conclusion from the discussion about upfront conditioning is the reward for a good behavior will increase its likelihood of being repeated, and punishing a bad behavior will reduce the likelihood of it happening again. You have to consistently reward a good behavior of your child until it becomes a habit for him. And you need to consistently punish bad behavior each and every time until the child gives up these bad behaviors. The punishment here does not mean physically beating up your child or verbally criticizing or humiliating them. These techniques, they will simply repress the bad behavior for it to emerge later with greater vengeance when they get older. You will become a victim of your own cruelty. I hope you've learned some techniques on how to reinforce good behavior of your child and how to put an end to their bad behavior. However, an important question comes to my mind. How did the child come to learn these bad behaviors in the first place? Who taught them to behave in a certain way in a given situation? There is another principle of learning that we need to understand if we want to unravel the mystery behind the behavior of our children. This principle is called observational learning or social theory of learning. Observational learning is learning that occurs through observing the behavior of others. This is the most important form of learning during childhood, and it continues to play an important role in modifying our behaviors throughout our life. This form of learning requires a social model, such as a parent, or a sibling, or a friend, or a teacher. A child may learn both desirable, good, and undesirable bad behaviors by observing a role model. The biggest role models for a child are his immediate family members. That is his parents, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, grandparents. And by far the greatest influence is exerted by the parents. Observational learning occurs through observing both negative and positive behaviors. Many behaviors that a child observes, he remembers them and imitates any actions that his parents display or role models display, even though the parent or the role model may not intentionally try to instill a particular behavior. In short, what observational learning means that our child will try to copy everything that we will do. Our way of thinking, our way of sitting, how we dress, how we eat, how we walk, how we react, how we drink. In essence, children will be almost carbon copies of their parents when it comes to their behavior. This point is extremely important to realize, because observational learning is by far the most important aspect of child's learning in his early years. Parents have to be very careful from day one. It was once believed the babies could not imitate actions until the latter half of the first year. However, a number of studies now report that infants as young as 7 days can imitate simple facial expressions. And by the latter half of their first year, 9-month-old babies can imitate actions hours after they first see them. And as the babies continue to develop, toddlers around the age of 2, they can acquire important personal and social skills by imitating a social role model. Let me try to explain this by using some examples. Imagine the time you are sitting at home and reciting the Holy Quran. Your 1-year-old child, they may pick up any book, come and sit next to you the way you are sitting. And they start flicking through the pages of their book, because you are flicking through the pages of the Holy Quran. And if you are running your finger along the lines, the child will also do the same. You did not ask them to do this. You pray namaz in front of a child. What happens after a little while? Your 1-year-old or your 2-year-old, they come, they stand next to you, and they try to obviously imitate your actions of ruku, your actions of sujood, your actions of attahiyat. They even lift their little index finger when in attahiyat position because they've seen you doing it. And sometimes they do it with both index fingers. That's very sweet. Did you tell them to pray namaz? The mothers who wear hijab, their daughters will pick up a piece of cloth and try to cover their face. Fathers who wear an imama sharif, they will see that sometimes their son will wrap a cloth around their head in a similar fashion. Your children will even walk in your shoes. Little children will even try to pick up the keys and open the door, not because they want to go out, but just to copy what their mother did a little while ago. If you finish your food plate and clean it with your fingers and then lick your fingers, as per the Sunnah method, your child will do the same. Look at your daughter playing with her dolls. What does she do to her doll? One day try to observe, you will see that she will act like her own mother and act out all those behaviors to the doll that her mother has demonstrated on her. If your child goes to school, you can even find out about the behavior of their teachers when your child comes home and plays with their sibling, the game of teacher and student. In fact, others can indirectly find out about our behavior simply by observing the behavior of our children. I'm sure if you think hard, you will remember some of those embarrassing moments. I can certainly think of a few. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Just the way that your child imitates your good behavior, in the same fashion they will imitate your bad behavior. Many behaviors that a child observes, they remember them and they imitate any actions that their parents display, even though the parent may not intentionally try to instill that particular behavior in them. A child may learn to swear, smack, smoke, and deem other inappropriate behaviors acceptable through poor modeling behavior, modeling of behaviors by his parents. Parents who get angry, their child will display this anger at times of frustration. Why does a child tell little lies to hide their wrongdoings? It is because he has observed his parents lying in front of him. You think they don't understand? They do, my dear Sambhadas. Inadvertently, we are teaching our children the bad habits. And let me mention here a very powerful real-life example with a very strong message. It happened almost 18 years ago, but I still remember it very clearly. A 5-year-old boy was asked by his grandmother that, Beta, do you pray namaz? His answer was that, Granny, don't you know that namaz is only for women? His granny was surprised to hear the answer. Who taught him this answer? No one. This child saw the Islamic sisters in the house, they prayed namaz, but Islamic brothers did not. He used his own logic and concluded that namaz is only for Islamic sisters. Who is responsible for his learning this answer? My dear brothers and viewers of the channel, think carefully. What messages are you delivering to your children through your actions, through your behaviors? This is why they say the actions speak louder than the words. How you want to see your children demonstrate the exact behavior in front of them, they will become like that. They will become like you. They will become your copy. But if you say to them one thing, but then do the opposite, their little minds get confused. In terms of psychology, this is called cognitive dissonance. This is a mental stress experienced by the child when performing an action that contradicts existing beliefs, ideas, or values. Theory of cognitive dissonance focuses on how human beings strive for internal consistency. A person who experiences inconsistency, in a child's case, parent telling them to do one thing, but their own actions are against it, this child tends to become psychologically uncomfortable in their mind, and so is motivated to try to reduce the cognitive dissonance occurring, and actively avoid the situations and information likely to increase the psychological discomfort. If the parents continue to exhibit contradiction between their words and actions, this will make the child avoid his parents. They will look for different role models. This then forms the basis of a relationship breakdown between parents and their children. We then say that my child never listens to me. Who is responsible for bad behavior of children? I think it is now easy to conclude that it is their role models. Who are their role models? Their parents. And whoever else the parents allow to be role models for them. As parents, we really need to be careful that our own behavior is right. Secondly, and equally importantly, we have to choose for our children that who else from the family and outside the family our child can mix with. We need to keep a close eye on the friends of our children. Blink your eye and your child is gone. Be a bad role model or choose the wrong role models for your children, then expect thorns to grow rather than the roses. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. With the help of this discussion so far, I hope we accept this fact that children start learning from the moment they are born. So from day one, we need to start giving them tarbiyat. We also learned what learning is and how we all learn through conditioning and observation. Through observational learning, we realize that we should act ourselves so that these behaviors transfer into our children. And if we say one thing but do the opposite, this confuses a child, and mentally they become distressed. This mental distress is a major cause for children to disobey their parents. The consequences of this disobedience are devastating to the home environment, to the community, and its effects reach out at national and even international level. Teachings of Islam place huge emphasis on development of positive character. The guidelines for positive behaviors are extensive. If we look at the early time of Islam, the character of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam played a major role in people accepting Islam. Even the Holy Quran testified to the glorious character of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We need to learn and adopt this beautiful character. One of the greatest role models for us in this day and age is Shaykh Tariqat Amiri al-Sunnah. He is a practical example of how one's character should be. And his character is based on the character of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Join the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, this blessed environment will teach you good character. You will become a practicing Muslim. And with the blessing of this, your words and your actions will become the same. Then you will see the results of this with your own eyes. Our aim should be that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.